Welcome to this episode of 60 Second Retail, a BDO podcast keeping you in the know on events and trends in the retail and consumer products industry impacting your bottom line in just a few short minutes.
Hello and welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Natalie Cutler, National Leader of the Retail and Consumer Products Industry Group at BDO. Just when retailers thought they had found their footing, supply chains are facing yet another round of uncertainty. Tariffs remain in flux, geopolitical tensions continue to reshape sourcing decisions, and companies are once again evaluating where products are made, moved, and stored. The challenge isn't simply responding to disruption. It's really about deciding which changes are temporary and which changes are here to stay. Today, we're joined by Ashley Hedrick, segment leader in our Technology and Transformation Group at BDO. Ashley is here to discuss how retailers are rebuilding supply chains, balancing resilience with cost, and preparing for whatever comes next in this evolving trade landscape. Welcome back to the show, Ashley.
Thanks, Natalie.
Ashley, so we've been talking about tariffs for 2 years now, believe it or not. Why is this still a topic of conversation?
We're still talking about tariffs because the issue is no longer the tariff itself. It's the uncertainty around it. Most retailers have already absorbed at least one round of tariff-related changes over the last 2 years. They've diversified suppliers, adjusted sourcing strategies, and reevaluated inventory positions. The challenge today is the rules continue to change. Companies can adapt to a permanent cost increase or even a known cost increase over a period of time. However, today we're trying to adapt to the unknown. Trade policy, enforcement rules, and geopolitical relationships at a macro level are constantly shifting. As a result, tariffs are less of a procurement issue and more of a strategic supply chain issue now, impacting network design, sourcing decisions, inventory strategy, pricing, and even where retailers are choosing to invest capital.
That's all good, right? But I guess the question is, have companies adapted enough to be able to weather this, the consistency of change?
Companies are significantly better positioned than they were a few years ago.
Right.
But I wouldn't say they're fully insulated to ongoing change. Over the last few years, they've diversified their supply base, improved visibility, and built more sophisticated planning capabilities. Those are all positive developments. At the same time, adaptation has its limits. A retailer can't simply move its entire supply chain, change the brands that it's bringing in every time policy changes. So now what we're seeing is a greater emphasis on flexibility. How do I create options rather than committing to a single strategy? So the organizations that have adapted the best aren't necessarily those who have moved to only selling US-based products. They're the ones that can evaluate scenarios quickly, understand the impact, and make informed decisions before their competitors, and ultimately before that uncertainty in whatever way it manifests, positive or negative, impacts adversely their balance sheet.
Well, that definitely makes sense. I mean, companies that can pivot and make decisions, I don't want to say easily, but maybe not as moving the Titanic type decisions, are certainly going to be the ones that are going to be winning in this environment. So when tariffs do become or continue to be a moving target, right, because it has been, and I know there's more news coming out every day on that, what's the area with the greatest risk exposure? And really, you know, what should retailers be prioritizing today?
The challenge is there's so much uncertainty, you can't pinpoint a single risk. Whereas years ago, we could say, oh, you know, products coming in from China are our biggest risk area. We just can't say that today. So the greatest risk exposure really isn't about visibility into a single geographic area or product. Where retailers are really struggling is actually core decision-making. They have access to tremendous amounts of data. They can model landed costs, monitor suppliers, forecast demand, and use AI predictive models to anticipate disruptions. The challenge isn't about knowing what's happening or where it's happening. It's what to do about it and being able to make those choices quickly enough to capture value. So case in point, like We're seeing dynamic pricing capabilities and predictive analytics become incredibly sophisticated. But those tools only create an advantage if you can translate that into action. Can you rebalance sourcing? Can you move inventory? Can you change pricing? Do you change when you bring in promotional products for a specific season? And the real question is not what the answers to those questions are, but who decides? Who can veto? Who gets a say? The retailers that are navigating this environment most effectively are prioritizing agility, but most importantly, agility backed by strong governance and decision rights. This analysis paralysis, I have so much data, I can't just decide, is becoming a problem.
Absolutely. I mean, we have data coming at us from all different angles, whether it's consumer data, whether it's shipping data, tariff data. It has to be incredibly overwhelming for retailers today. So I agree with you. And today's retailer has so many more challenges that they had, you know, maybe not even 5 years ago. So what supply chain strategies, let's talk strategy now, are retailers using to manage the ongoing geopolitical and trade-related disruptions without tying up too much of the working capital?
Yeah, it's a great point. Inventory can no longer be the shock absorber of uncertainty. Nor can simply moving manufacturing or challenging your suppliers to move manufacturing back to the U.S. or nearshoring. There's a tremendous cost to that. Most retailers instead are expanding their domestic distribution, fulfillment, and last mile networks, and even encouraging some of their suppliers to do the last portion of the production process in the U.S. By holding inventory closer to the customer, they can respond faster to tariff changes and trade disruptions and delay key inventory decisions until demand is much clearer. That, in combination with looking really strategically about what I'm selling to what customers, is helping them manage that working capital. So it's all about SKU reduction and how do I get those products as close to the consumer as possible while still giving me appropriate labor arbitrage that I'm going to get with manufacturing outside of a nearshored country.
I think SKU rationalization at this point is probably super important. You know, I know that in the past, lots of retailers were SKU happy and, you know, let's make this product in 27 different colors, or let's try and make it in wider stripes, skinny stripes, whatever the case may be. And I think the SKU rationalization right now, and I know that you're an expert in this as well, and we've had several conversations about the 80-20 rule when it comes to SKU rationalization is definitely something that we should be looking at. So at this point, I always ask you to pull out your crystal ball. And as you look ahead at the next 12 to 24 months, what supply chain trends should retail executives be paying closest attention to?
It's actually not a supply chain trend that I'd encourage them to be watching on this topic specifically. It's the evolving legal battle over who has the authority to set trade policy in the United States. Right now, the courts are still weighing in on what authority the executive branch has to impose broad trade actions versus whether those changes need to go through a more traditional rulemaking process as established by Congress. The reason that matters in the supply chain world is the question of timing and notice. Traditional rulemaking takes a lot longer, and we have early visibility into what that looks like, enabling us to create strategies with more advanced notice to plan appropriately and think through the implications of those choices versus executive rulemaking that can happen incredibly fast. That uncertainty will change how we plan and how much agility is required in the supply chain. So I think that's what a lot of leaders that we're talking with are keeping a very, very close eye on, because it'll tell them what business looks like in 27.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much, Ashley, for joining us and for sharing your insights. As retailers navigate ongoing trade uncertainty, the organizations that succeed may be the ones that build flexibility into their supply chain rather than betting on any one single outcome. Whether tariffs rise, fall, I don't know if they're ever going to fall, but or remain in limbo, which is probably more likely, the ability to adapt quickly is becoming a competitive advantage in and of itself. Thanks for listening to 60 Second Retail. And if you enjoyed today's conversation, be sure to add us to your library and join us next time for more insights shaping the future of retail. Have a terrific day.
And that concludes this episode of BDO's 60 Second Retail podcast. Don't forget to tune in for the next episode. To find more information on our hosts, guests, BDO services, or listen to previous episodes of 60 Second Retail, please visit www.bdo.com/60-second-retail.